Welcome to the Elizabeth Roddick Radio Channel, a radio show dedicated to a better lifestyle for women over 50. Covering tips on health, nutrition, exercise and more, packed with fascinating, interesting and enlightened subjects for all women over 50. And here she is, Elizabeth Roddick.
Hello everyone. Today I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Helga Ryan. She's a GP with a practice in Edinburgh, Scotland. She's one of very few experts on vitamin D in Scotland, and I'm pleased that she's agreed to be interviewed today. Hello, Helga.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Now, you started getting interested in vitamin D about 10 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. After I had found that a majority of the patients in my practice were deficient. And this was also published in the BMJ as a letter.
Right. And we're obviously in Scotland just now, but the latest scientific report suggested we're all deficient in vitamin D in the UK.
Yes. We long waited for this report, and that's from a committee called Scientific Advisory Committee on Nutrition. They advised that everybody living in the whole of the UK should take a supplement in the winter time. But they also advised that certain at-risk groups should consider to take a supplement all year round. And one of those risk groups are people living in Scotland.
Right.
And we have actually another report from a few years before which showed from Aberdeen that the average blood level of people living in Scotland is 37, and that's below what is officially considered as a healthy level. And of course, there is a difference in the north and in the south. So in Scotland, it's below the average, below the required healthy level.
Okay, and now we're talking to particularly women, and I'm concerned about bone health in terms of vitamin D. What would you like to say about that?
Well, as probably all the listeners will know, that vitamin D is needed to absorb calcium from the food into the body through the gut. But we probably need sufficient vitamin D and minerals and calcium from childhood onwards, and particularly in childhood and adolescence. Whether later in life, once someone has developed osteoporosis, whether that is reversible is highly unlikely. But you do still need vitamin D for other reasons. And you probably can slow down the progress of osteoporosis.
With vitamin D, yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. At least you correct your needed system, your system which needs D and calcium.
And you're suggesting, I think, supplementing with vitamin D, is that correct?
Yes. Living in Scotland, I think we have so many reports about widespread, far too low levels, that I think everyone should be advised to take supplements, and in a decent-sized dose.
Yeah, we're going to talk about doses in a moment. But first of all, breast cancer. There are studies suggesting there are better outcomes for women who have higher vitamin D levels.
Yes. All cancers have better outcomes when vitamin D levels are higher. I mean, I say all, but studies have shown it for a range of cancers. And the ones I'm thinking of is colon cancer, lung, lymphoma, but also a very recent study showed really a difference with all cancers. If your blood levels are higher, you have better survival.
Yeah, and I also found from some of the studies that even the tumours were smaller in breast cancer. I don't know if that's correct or not.
I don't know about that, but
But generally, it's a good idea to have higher vitamin D levels.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously you were talking about doses there. What doses do you suggest, Helga?
Well, if you take it daily, I would suggest anything between 2,000 and 5,000 international units. Now, some shops sell it, of course, as micrograms, so you have to convert that. But it can also be taken weekly, but that would be then the daily dose times 7.
And obviously, a lot of women particularly or people out there look at the guidelines if they're up to date, and they're suggesting 400 international units.
Yeah, I think, well, it is the baby dose. It is what the whole of Europe gives to babies to prevent rickets.
Right.
And, I mean, if a body is small, it might be sufficient to give 400 international units, but an adult with a much larger body needs more.
Yes, it's a sort of obvious thing, I would imagine.
Obvious, exactly, yeah.
And older people, do they have more difficulty synthesising vitamin D in their skin?
Well, so is the traditional thought and wisdom on it. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
And for me, in our practice, I don't make any distinction. Everyone gets vitamin D.
Okay.
Or should be advised to take it. And in fact, I don't make any difference between the dosage either.
And I was going to say about darker skins. Are they more at risk, the people with darker skins?
Dark skin types would need much more time in the sun in order to produce sufficient vitamin D in the skin, because that's, of course, one of the ways how the body can obtain vitamin D if you spend a lot of time in the sun. But obviously, as further north people went, as whiter the skin became in order to absorb every ray, and darker skin types, now living in Scotland, would need significantly higher amount of time outdoor to get a sufficient vitamin D level in the blood.
And just talking about going out in the sun, there's talk of maybe people going out for a short time until their skin becomes pink, and obviously there's this worry about melanoma. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I have only just last few days read a study again where people were going to show whether it makes a difference, the kind of three times a day, 20 minutes in the sun. I think this was with legs and arms exposed. In a very white-skinned type 2 skin type, it might be sufficient, it would be sufficient, to get this level of 50, this cutoff. In individuals who have a darker skin type, it was not sufficient at all. They compared the two. But of course, talking about cutoff levels of sufficiency, which is also disputed, and it all depends on what is defined as sufficiency. So the vast majority, I would say, everyone in the biochemistry world thinks the level of 50 is the lower cutoff. That should be, after that, you might be called sufficient. But there is quite a big number of scientists, vitamin D scientists, who think you should have a level of 100 to 150, they think is the optimal range.
And really?
And that is three times a week, 15 minutes or 20 minutes in the sun.
Okay.
Not enough to get you to that. So I don't know how long it needs, maybe half an hour, maybe more. Which is the other thing is, of course, we cannot get this in Scotland much because it tends to be too windy, too cool, maybe even raining. You tend not to go out arms and legs exposed three times a week. Most people at least don't do that. And we find in blood levels a north-south gradient, and of course in health as well. So yes, living in the south of Scotland, in south of England, you will have much more opportunity to be outdoor in your lunch breaks. But in Scotland, it is much more difficult.
And I suppose the danger is never get burnt.
That's for sure. That is anyway clear.
That's a big risk. But generally, Helga, you would say that most people do need to supplement. Is that correct?
I think so, yes. And I think winter and summer, living in Scotland, is not a big difference for most people. In fact, I have yet to see someone who has naturally acquired a level of 100, of that what the majority of the vitamin D scientists think we should have in our blood. So I've yet to see someone, and I've tested quite a lot of bloods in my patients.
Right, well, that's been really interesting, Helga. Thank you very much for spending some time with me.
No problem.
Thanks, Helga.
Thank you for interest.
Okay, goodbye now.
Cheers, bye, Elizabeth.
In summary, Helga, why is vitamin B why is it considered so important?
Yes. Years ago, we knew it has to do with prevention of rickets. But what we now know, and thus only transpired in the last 10 to 20 years, is that it's vitally important in the immune system. Mm. And this is where you asked earlier on about cancer survival. That is where it plays a role in the immune system important for cancer. And the same for a huge range of other diseases. I would call it that it is preventing problems. So even if people don't feel a huge difference, I think it prevents lots of problems, from depressed mood and lethargy to even better survival when you are in intensive care, for instance, after an operation.
Right, very wide-ranging.
Yes, and we have studies about that.
Gosh.
So I always would say, keep your levels up. That would be my main message.
That's your main message, Helga. Well, that's an important message, so thank you very much for that, Helga. It's been very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There, you heard it from the expert, Dr. Ryan. If you're living in a country where there isn't much sun, or you're not able to get much exposure to the sun, then for optimum health, you need to take vitamin D. Look forward to talking with you next week.
If you've got any questions that you'd love to hear the answer to, let Elizabeth know. We hope you've enjoyed today's session. If you want more right now, go to www.erqualitylifesystem.com.